Call the January 14th, 2020 council meeting to order. And I would like to say that I am filling in for Mike Vincent, who is the, he has never missed a meeting in his 9 years.
I think it's second time.
Is it?
12 years.
12 years.
10 years.
10.
Coming up on 12.
He came on the same time I did.
Okay.
This is 12th year.
So that's a.
I've been there 12 years.
I'm honored to fill in on a not so good regular basis. So I'm looking for the approval of the agenda. Ms. Jennings, is there any changes to the agenda?
There is. We can strike approval of the minutes.
Do I have a motion to amend the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
The minutes are approved as amended. So next is a reading of correspondence from Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. We have several letters in appreciation of grants. There's one from the Good Samaritan Aid Organization, the Love Inc. of Mid-Delmarva, and New Hope Recreation Development Center. That is all.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. Public comments. Mr. Chip Guy. Chip is going to be our official timekeeper for today, and it's 3 minutes of public comment from the public. That's why it's public comment, and it's a good time to talk about anything that's concerning you that concerns us. So it's a one-way communication. It's not something that we can have a discussion about, but we are very interested in hearing from the public on matters that concern you, that concern us. So I ask for Mr. Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Basically, is what I'm here for today is just discussing is concerning that last meeting that you had concerning the 7-Eleven, which just went through as the conditional permits. When I'm looking at the conditional use for permitted uses or whatever to come in for a conditional, the one tagline, residential, business, commercial, or industrial uses when the purpose of this chapter are more fully met by issuing a conditional permit. Does that classify that anything that or anyone that wants to come into a commercial versus going C2, C3, 4, HI, just has to come in, can come in for a conditional? Is it all just a catchphrase? Or, because it's where I'm going with this, is should every Wawa coming in, every Royal Farms, every 7-Eleven, every Quick Check, every Dashin, should that property just come in for a conditional use, or should it be coming for a change of zone? I have a rough time with if the property can't be zoned or shouldn't be zoned as anything listed in that C3, C4, HI, how a conditional makes any bit of difference on how the conditional should be approved. If it can't, if in a judgment, a Wawa, or just for, say, convenience store, fuel, anything in that nature, it's listed underneath the commercial zoning table that you've invested a lot of time going through it, had a lot of discussion about the conditionals, is why it wasn't brought up during hearing again, why it shouldn't have been brought back in as a C3, or why is it even here coming in front of planning zoning and then in the county council. I'm just confused, still confused about that, because with doing as much driving as I've done over the years, I've never seen it. I've never seen a Wawa property or a different property in that nature convert to anything else but another business. So why would that even be conditional? And even going back to different conditionals in there, it just seems, I'm still trying to find out the gray area, because I listened to all the, when we did the commercial ordinances going through, And I thought this was to limit it, except for special occasions for minor conditionals to help out the normal everyday resident doing a smaller thing. But to have that come through under conditional, to me, seems to be backwards. It's not moving us forward. It's moving us backwards that it even came up to be able to be brought in front of you. There was a bad decision made down the chain. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith Steck.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment today. At this past Thursday's meeting, the Sussex Planning and Zoning Commission, Chairman Wheatley admitted something few Sussex Countyans know. The Commission does not compare zoning change or conditional use requests to county ordinances and regulations to ensure they align. To many, finding out the Commission does not follow these common sense basic government practices is a shock. But to those of us who have and continue to fight bad decisions in Sussex County's P&Z world, it's not. That's why there's no documentation in the zoning change and conditional use application files that show whether applications align or conflict with county rules. Opponents of several recent applications before the commission knew this. The most notable recent case was a 7-Eleven project this county killed last week for a second time. In fighting this project for almost 2 years, opponents never saw evidence that anyone in the P&Z world compared the project documents in either the zoning case or the second case for a workaround called a conditional use. That's because there wasn't any. It's unclear why such a basic good government practice has not been and is still not followed. This failure to compare applications to rules set by county council not only flies in the face of common sense, it raises serious questions about why the commission recommends approval of cases that fly in the face of these rules. The failure begs a question, why is this comparison not being done? Worse, when Chairman Wheatley says a comparison is not required and he and the commission don't do it, what comes across is he and the commission don't have to follow the rules created by council. What else comes across is that he and the commission know what's best for the public, and they can ignore the rules, basically county laws, that apply to the rest of us. But in fact, the council last week applied the rules to the project and to the commission when it denied the 7-Eleven request. What about the next time? All the applications that the commission decides but is never compared to county rules. What about the applications that don't comply but never go before the public or this council? What I and others want to know is when is the commission going to start checking applications to see if they comply or conflict with rules, the rules set by county council? This commission should immediately start comparing all zoning applications to county rules. Further, if this practice is not being done throughout this planning and zoning world, it should begin immediately. The commission, the planning and zoning department, and the board of adjustments should start these comparisons now with the existing applications. For all incoming applications from this day forward, the comparison should be the first thing done, and in all cases, documentation should clearly show the results, whether they comply or conflict with the rules. And this documentation should be available to the public. I speak as a vice president of the Delaware Coalition of Open Government. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Ms. Lee.
Hi, good morning. It is really a good morning for me and for the residents in Angola. I was here 4 months ago. It was the public hearing of the 7-Eleven. And I was a wreck. I was yelling and screaming, and I was not able to catch my own breath while I was reading my own statement. But I had a sliver of hope because I saw the council starting the meeting by reciting Psalm 23. There was my hope that this body is seeking the guidance, protection, and provision of our shepherd. However, I was frustrated that planning and zoning had anonymously recommended the approval of the conditional use of 7-Eleven in AR1 zone. We, the residents, couldn't figure out what to think of the case and try to bring out the case in public to raise the awareness. A week ago, about this time, I was in this room praying God's will be done. Whatever the vote, I would still trust the God that had a plan. Then the next hour changed me to be a woman with much hope for the county. When the council applied the zoning law to deny the application, I knew the law will still rule in the county. Thank you, councilmen, and each one of you, and except Mr. Wilson, I have something to say. I hear, you know, we have talked about the landowner rights in the past. And I agree the landowner has their right because it is their land. Some even say it is God-given rights. If I say that I have a right to drive my car because I paid for it, I learned how to drive and paid for the insurance, and I drive in the way, any way I wish to drive it, is that right? Driving the 3,000-pound potentially serious and fatal weapon comes with responsibility. And the right is exercised with responsibility, it becomes privilege. And otherwise, unless we take the responsibility, our right becomes an abuse of the at the expense of other rights, other people's rights. If my exercising the right bring hazard to the area or potentially to the landowners around, it is no longer landowner right, it is a God-given privilege. When my husband's brother died, we met the mortuary director who told us that 97% of heirs fight, but 3% don't, because they have no money to fight over. They might say, I'm old and I cannot enjoy all the money, but I have enough to pass to my children. However, this money may well split your children that you love so much. So I have 3 minutes, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Next, we will move on to Gina Jennings, the Finance Director.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The first item under myself is the recognition of the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team. I have a proclamation to honor the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team upon winning the 2019 DIAA Division I championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as Division I state champions for the 2019 season. And whereas the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team capped yet another impressive season in beating Padua Academy by a score of 2-0 during the state championship game on Saturday, November 16, 2019, ending with an impressive 17-2 record. And whereas the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team's accomplishments in the eighth state title in the last 9 years for the school's field hockey program, and the 10th field hockey state championship title for the school since 1979. And whereas the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team played a formidable opponent in facing squads from across Sussex County and throughout the state of Delaware and Mid-Atlantic during the 2019 season, displaying cooperation, consistency, and character above all else. And whereas the Cape and Lopin School field hockey team's accomplishment is a source of tremendous pride for the Cape and Lopin School District community and all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team upon winning the 2019 Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association championship title and proclaims Tuesday, January 14th, 2020 as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Erwin G. Burton III, Councilman. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If we had exams tomorrow, we would have brought everyone.
Okay.
Are too smart for
it. Is he taking an exam too?
Say cheese.
One, two, three.
Texas cheese.
One, two, three. Cheese.
Smile. Cheese.
Cheese. I think he got the award.
Got the award.
good as any.
One more time.
Smile one more time.
All right, this is the big one.
This is the big one.
One more cheese.
Here we go. Big smile, that's great. On three, one, two, and three. One more time, ready? One, two, and three.
Very great.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Smart guy. Wait till the camera's off you.
Yeah, that's why you smiled, because it was out of her.
That's funny. All right, and the last item is the administrator's report. There's one item, a reminder that the council will not meet Tuesday, January 21st. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on January 28th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
All right, thank you. And thank you, Cape and Lopen. Next is Mr. Ashman, Utility Planning Director, is going to give us some words of wisdom.
Good morning. The first item I have is a proposal for the Cherry Creek Valley expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. This is an expansion of our Angola Neck area and includes parcels along Camp Arrowhead Road north of Waterview Road. The engineering department received requests from several property owners interested in having county extend the sewer service to their properties. The request caused us to create and distribute a polling letter to the area. Results from the polling letter were mixed, and we've actually had sent the polling letter to all the parcels that you see there, but you see some that are not highlighted yellow. We actually prepared our map to keep our boundary contiguous and include those properties that did require sewer service immediately. One property has multiple mobile homes and campers that are currently connected to common septic systems or cesspools. They are currently working with DENREC in an attempt to clean up the site, and central sewer would benefit the property. County is currently in design of the Joy Beach area project, which extends sewer service to the Happy Go Lucky mobile home park,
which is right here.
So that allows us to possibly include this in that project and try to get some sewer service up there quickly to take care of the problem with the DENREC issue. And it also gives us an advantage of some economies of scale. The engineering department would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing on this annexation area.
Do you have a motion?
I have a motion. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Cherry Creek Valley expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels along Camp Arrowhead Road north of Waterview Road as presented on January 14, 2020.
There's a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Mr. Medlar.
Vice Chairman. Just to be clear, we evaluated the technical approach to this, as well as the legal approach, and the petitions. Not all the parcels in the yellow have a positive response. However, they are needed to make the technical as well as the legal continuity approach work. So we have excluded as many parcels with negative responses as we could. That's the white parcels. But I want to be 100% clear, listening to our planning director here, it appeared you could interpret it either way, and it is a mixed bag, but the majority are clearly in favor of the annexation as shown, which is necessary to make the technical work as well as the legal piece.
Questions on that?
Are you saying the majority has voted for this?
The majority of the clear majority petitioned for that. It was not a referendum, Councilman, it was a petition.
No referendum?
No, because it's an annexation, so we don't need a referendum.
questions? I got a question.
Yes.
Is there a time limit on the white area? So you've excluded the ones that you could that said, I'm not interested, right? Mm-hmm. Do they have a time limit to, if one in the middle said, hey, you know, I've rethought it, can he come in?
Only if they're contiguous and we can serve them. You see, how we're going to lay out the pipes is such a way that we will serve the parcels, A, requested, and B, which are contiguous with our route. So if somebody in the middle of the white would change their mind, if we can come through the neighboring parcel and we can make it work out for environmental reasons, we will. And these we bring forward once a year, because if we did it on a case-by-case basis, A, it would tie up your agenda, and B, they would actually have to pay for that particular advertisement. But in this particular case here, on a case-by-case, we may be able to make it work, but I would not make that promise in a public meeting.
Because you're going to be a while getting...
This one's moving pretty quickly, because if we are correct and we can add it to the Joy Beach project, it would move quickly.
Okay.
Sounds almost like in the domain here.
No, not at all, because you're like, the state law requires us to be contiguous. So we have to find a contiguous path. The state law also says we have to provide the infrastructure in such a way to serve all the people who requested it. That means if I have to jump over a leapfrog, the pipe doesn't stop, the pipe just continues. So we are bringing, how about, Councilman, if we say the clear majority rules the decision-making process?
So state law says you're going to do it. So why do we need to vote?
Because you are given the authority under the state law to do certain procedures. This particular one has several steps. The first steps is we have to mark, post the property like we're requesting. Then we have to hold a public hearing, at which point you may hear from one or two of the constituents who say, oh, why don't you just interrupt the pipe or interrupt the continuity, and then your response, our response will be just that. The state code does not give us that authority. So in this case, I want you to all be aware of it. We're going to post it, we're going to advertise it, and we're going to hold the hearing. But during a hearing, you know, we can't have that open and easy exchange. So today is a much better day to have that discussion.
So it looks like we're back in the state law, doesn't it?
100%, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. President, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Rao.
Yeah.
You're going to run, it looks like you're going to run the pipe down to the end of that cul-de-sac there that's in yellow.
Well, the cul-de-sac, unfortunately, is one owner the whole way back, so in order to keep the boundary, you got to bring the whole, it's basically the whole road in.
And anybody along there later on could tap in easily enough, right?
That is an interesting question, and our councilor may jump in. I've been part of some of the legal cases where it was determined by municipalities that you cannot use right-of-ways to jump and create continuity. And councilor? So I'm pretty sure of that legal precedence. So you cannot take the parcel at the end of the cul-de-sac, if I may. You cannot take this parcel and create continuity by using the road.
They call it a panhandle, and that permits you from accepting that property. So
they would not be able to tap in later.
The only reason this is yellow, Councilman, is because the parcel is one contiguous piece, the road. It's a privately owned parcel.
And the area in yellow at the top, that large area, is that vacant space or are there?
Now that's
the one with the mobile homes and
that's
the campers
the
on
homes
it.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, for instance, all these parcels are contiguous once, if we would do this annexation, because they butt up against
this. You'd run all the way through
parcel.
The mobile home park?
As far as they need us.
Yes.
I have one question.
Mr. Hobbs. You done, Mr. Brown?
I'm finished. I'm assuming Sam's going to ask his question about who pays for it, but I think we know the answer.
Do you want to ask it anyway, Sam?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
The
thinking environmentally, is there a timeline at all where they can be forced to go into the sewer, hook into the sewer?
You have...
When systems fail and stuff?
You have a on-site disposal permit, you being the individual.
Yes.
And that permit has two stipulations in it. The permit may be declared null and void if it had been issued after 1987, and that language is in there, but that is a decision by the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
And it is normally taken if the property is contiguous, i.e. can be legally extended, and B, is within 200 feet of central sewer service. So the department, that's not the engineering department, that's DNRC, does not take that decision lightly. So, however, upon transfer, these systems have to be inspected and have to meet the latest upgrades. So at that point, more people than not ask to be connected. So but in the end, it's a decision by the individual, and it's a decision by the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay, thank you.
But just to follow up on that, so it stays status quo until it is transferred to another owner, and then everything changes.
90% of the time, the exception being, Councilman, Mr. Vice President, would be if you experience a problem and you have to seek a repair permit, then the same condition is triggered.
Okay.
Thank you. No, that's my second thought on that. If a system fails.
So transfers, most of the time it happens upon transfer.
Okay.
But on occasion it happens upon problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there's no other questions, so I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'll call him for the vote.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Hudson voted in favor?
Yes.
And I vote in favor, so the Cherry Hill Valley annexation is approved.
All right.
The call for notices. Next.
You'll get to see it again when they come in for the public hearing.
All right, this one's a little different. This one actually is not done as an annexation. This will actually be a public hearing and a referendum process. This is for the Blackwater Village area. In February of 2019, the engineering department received a request to prepare and distribute petitions from property owners in the area and the homeowners association. The county had received interest in the past by a mass petition, but the distance to infrastructure made the project unaffordable. With the completion of our Millville SR26 Phase 3 project, our infrastructure is now closer to their project. In October of 2019, the Homeowners Association presented signed petitions to the engineering department, along with a resolution from the HOA supporting the petition for extending sewer service to Blackwater Village from the Blackwater Village Homeowners Association, or Blackwater Village Association Incorporated, dated April 11th, 2019. A sufficient number of valid petitions have been received, some being multiple petitions from legal voters in the same household, but there's 75 out of the 276 parcels represented so far. The engineering department would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing to establish a final boundary, and the engineering department will present a proposed boundary and explain county rate structures at that time. If we receive any requests for expansions or deletions from the boundary, we will review those prior to bringing them to council for the final boundary resolution. Any questions?
Yeah, let's hear your motion.
Be it moved that based upon the receipt of petitions submitted pursuant to 9 DLRC 6503, the Sussex County Council hereby grants permission for the Sussex County Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for a public hearing to establish a boundary for the proposed Blackwater Village area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District.
Move for adoption.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? So, wait, I got a question. So 75 out of 212 have said okay.
Yes.
And that's enough to
We need 50 petitions in order to take it to the public hearing.
50, not 50%.
50, no, just 50.
Okay.
To bring it to a referendum vote.
Okay.
First, we'll establish the boundary, which gives them the opportunity to come. We kind of get a better feel from the larger community once they see it posted as to whether there is definite interest in the area, whether there's more interest. We kind of get a feedback from the crowd at that point in time.
Do you go to the HOA meetings?
It depends. This one, we're actually scheduling our own. We haven't been to an HOA meeting in this community.
You schedule your own here?
We actually have a public hearings. We have the date reserved, if you approve today, for March 13th at the Indian River High School.
Oh, okay.
And we do our full-blown presentation of how the rate structure works, what the cost would be, and allow them the opportunity to ask to be included, excluded.
Individually?
To a point. We can't pull a donut out of the middle of it, but if some of the larger parcels on the edge wish to be included or excluded, we could do so.
And is that a 50% number?
Vote.
50% vote.
Yeah, so once you establish the boundary, then we actually go to the referendum. Then they vote. Machines, full-blown, everything. They will come in. Everybody in the area has the opportunity to vote, every property owner and resident.
Great. Okay, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
I vote yes.
I vote yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? I vote yes. Motion carries to prepare and post notices.
A question though, I mean, we've got this done, but this is going to go to South Coastal?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, what is the ultimate capacity of South Coastal? I mean, the area's growing fast. Are we ever going to be in danger of bumping up against a, you know, capacity limit here at some point?
That ocean's a big place out there.
You're right. You're right about that. But you still have to be able to process what's coming up.
Improvements are coming.
Thank you, Councilman, for asking the question. And I did not prompt the question, but it's great. I love to answer it. You have graciously awarded the South Coastal Upgrade Project. The South Coastal Upgrade Project takes the average of the last 5 years of growth and projects it out 20 years. And the project improvements, as well as the permits we received to do this, are all in place, and the award is moving forward. It's a two-year project, so 2 years from now, that means 18 years left on the planning horizon. We will have 20 years worth of capacity at South Coastal.
At a growth rate
equivalent to the last 5 years, which is pretty high. So I do not see it accelerating beyond the last 5 years. But I would see, if nothing else, it would plateau or it would slightly decrease. However, should it, for whatever reason, increase further, then we don't have 20 years. We may only have 15 or 16 years. But strangely enough, like Councilman Wilson said, we have not yet, with that number, that is a 10 million gallon per day average daily flow capacity at the treatment plant. We are only halfway there at the outfall capacity. So we could build another upgrade at South Coastal if we wanted to.
It's good to know. I mean, I you know, read complaints and comments from time to time that with the pace of growth, that, you know, the that aspect of our infrastructure at some point will not be adequate. And I believe it will be, and I just think it's good to keep telling people that it will be. You know, we have plans in the process to make sure that it is.
I mean, that even includes the abandonment of the Piney Neck facility and the transfer of the Dagsburg-Frankfort greater area to South Coastal for environmental reasons, which is a good thing. Right. So we could choose to do it the other way around, but it would not be cost effective and not be the best environmental solution.
Great, thank you for the information, but I want everybody to be clear, it was 4-0 on request to prepare and post notices for the Blackwater Village area. So motion carried.
Thank you.
And to answer your earlier question, Mr. Vice President, that Mr. Ashman and I appear before many HOAs, sometimes to much of the chagrin of my family. So this Saturday we have one, and they happen quite frequently behind the scenes. You just don't see them.
I think it's important because they got to know what bills are coming in the mail.
They have to make an educated decision.
Right.
Yes.
A lot of times that happens up front before we ever get to this point.
Okay.
Usually it's shared with the homeowner president who shares it.
Great. Thank you. So we'll move on to Hans Medlar, county engineer.
Thank you. Good morning again, council. In consecutive order, we get more complex. The first one is very easy, the second one not so, and the third one's pretty complex. So the first one is one of the Chapter 96 projects, and these, again, you don't see these happening behind the scenes. There's a lot of back and forth between the HRA and the members before they even come to a vote and vote to have a Chapter 96 roadway improvement project voted in. So this one was voted in. We bid it out. We had a good response. You awarded the project. In the process of actually constructing it, the contractor made a no-cost proposal, which affected slightly the timeline, but no cost. And we reviewed it and accepted it, and the project has been completed. And that particular proposal worked out really well. I think the community is going to be happy with the end result. As a matter of fact, I think we had the final inspection either yesterday or today. So very shortly, you will see us come back with a closeout. But this particular one is just an update to see, so you can see how this unfolds. And we have the approval, we're requesting the approval of change order number one. At no cost, but with a time associated with it.
There is time, okay.
There was a non-compensatory time, which is good.
Okay, so do you have a motion?
We have a motion. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract T20-01, the Owl's Nest Pavement Improvement, be approved to amend the item, unit item schedule, and provide a no-cost time extension in accordance with the contract documents.
We have a motion for that.
Move for adoption.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Wilson. Any discussion on this? I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carries 4-0. Next is Blade Sanitary Sewer District.
So our president probably would accuse me that I put this on the agenda in his absence, but that is not correct. And I did talk to him about it. So he is aware of where we are and where we're going from here. So I sort of broke it down in two pieces. The first one is the Concord Road piece, which sort of developed by itself on its own course, funded by USDA, created through a referendum, etc. You see all these steps in here. The project had a number of change orders. The first couple were associated with just minor adjustments to the contract documents. The third one being a contract time extension associated with the elimination of the Little Meadows pump station. So once in a while, we have an opportunity to take pump stations offline, which makes a lot of sense for us because of the cost savings. And so we pursued that. That was a non-USDA funded component, which you had approved in a separate contract change order. That contract change order piece unfolded really well, with one exception, that was the dewatering based on our soil borings. We had expected a few hundred feet of dewatering, but in the end, we had to dewater the entire section. That drove that particular cost up by $38,000 based on unit prices. So it's not that we didn't know how to compensate for it, because it was awarded by, and it was actually bid originally by, a per foot price for the dewatering, but we were hoping that we wouldn't have to pay it out. So that is given to you in a separate schedule or a separate attachment. If you looked at your documents, this is probably a very complex change order document because of the various attachments. But if you look at attachment B, it shows you the increase in this particular component, which is associated almost exclusively with the dewatering piece. The other one is the main change order, and it's very complex because it has a water component and a sewer component. You touched it many times before. You were actually the only one here was Councilman Wilson and Councilman Burton touched it, because we had to have an agreement with the town of Blades, which had to be approved by USDA to administer the project in the way it is. So we are the contract holder. We have both contract components, but the water piece is just a pass-through. So we're doing the administration and the financial on the pass-through. But when you look at the change order, it includes the whole thing. So the overall account is a credit, but the credit lies mostly with the water side. The actual difference in cost to us as a sewer user is $150,000, and you have to sort of back into that number, and Ms. Jennings and I discussed it. We actually anticipated that the actual third-party cost to us, and third-party is sort of the wrong word, the non-user cost, the cost which is not associated with this very small user group, the Concord Road, well, we expected it to be in the $180,000 range, and it ended up being $150,000. So in the end, it's still within our expectations. But when you look at the award is a real easy award because it's a credit of $211,000. But it's really an overall project credit, and the breakdown for the sewer and the water is individual. So if you had all reviewed these numbers, then I'd be very impressed, because it's pretty complex if you don't know how this all unfolds. That's why I tried to write the memo in such a way that it covers the items we just discussed. So the first issue is approval of the last change order number 5, which is the credit, close out the project, release the retainage, and then we'll deal with the last remaining engineering component.
You have a motion on
we
that.
We have the first motion, yes. Be moved upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number 5 for contract 15-03 Concord Road Utility Upgrade Expansion of the Blades Sanitary Sewer District be approved, which decreases the contract amount by $217,404.10 for a new total of $2,523,448.86, contingent upon USDA approval, and that substantial completion be granted and any held retainage be released in accordance with the contract documents.
There a motion for that?
I move. Second.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on that? I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And I vote in favor. Motion carries 4-0. Now B.
B is the, when you look at the memo, it's on the second page, the bottom half. It deals with how the engineering contract unfolded. So it was originally a contract for the Concord Road project. We had some amendment to it which dealt when we brought the water in. Then we had a couple of movements on the commercial side. We first looked at just the extension on the west side up to Route 13 to the crossing. In essence, that's the piece at the business park where our paramedic station is in, and the crossing from the pump station on Concord Road across the church property to Route 13. And we broke that down separately because there was a lot of easement moving parts on that. We had to deal with 5 different entities on this, and I wanted to keep that piece separate. So that piece has been dealt with, is fully designed and permitted. The second component, which was awarded, was the actual crossing and the extension on the east side just through the service truck center to the Brickyard Road. That one is designed and is in permitting right now. Which hasn't been designed yet is the piece south of the crossing on both sides, the east and the west side of the highway. They're relatively short pieces, so it's a relatively small engineering contract. $10,000, we'll get that designed, finished, and permitted. And then we've done all of the construction administration and inspection in-house, so I don't expect any more engineering costs, because we will continue to do this for that for this particular project. And that has to do with, and that's one of my promises to the president, we're trying to keep the commercial extension to the lowest cost possible for us, because we're funding it with non-USDA monies. But there's still user fees, Mr. Wilson, Councilman Wilson.
Is there a motion for that?
There's a motion associated with that. may be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number one to the 2019 base EJCDC agreement with Davis Bond Fidel Incorporated be approved in the amount not to exceed $10,000 for the final design of the Southern Route 13 commercial sewer extension in the Blades District area.
Is there an approval for that motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Wilson. Any discussion? Anybody have any questions on that? Got it.
Just as a for the record, it's amendment number one because we're in a new contract award, and you see that in, when you read the memo, you remember that there was an initial on-call engineering services. We redid that. So if anybody questions, why is this number one and we have already three amendments?
Because you began again.
Because we have a new base contract.
Right.
I will make one comment. Somebody asked me how I liked my first year on council, and I said I never thought I would know so much about sanitary sewer systems in my life. But thank you, Hans, for the education.
And although it's difficult, you do make it easy to understand. So I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. And if there ever have been many moving parts, it is Inland Bays. So that's why I said complexity is increasing. When you look at the initial question by Councilman Riley about South Coastal, easy, straightforward, one permit, one NPDES discharge. Inland Bays, a dozen moving parts. You and I have discussed that many times, what the different moving parts are. This particular set of change orders is directly related to the additional outlets, and you know what that is, I won't go into detail, how the storage associated with it, and how the changes to any of these phases we do affects the stormwater permit, and how our banking program affects this whole thing. So if we had had our banking program in place, which is currently being reviewed by DNRC, by the way, we could have proceeded with that and drawn from our own bank. We are very diligently working on this particular issue for our three open airport projects. So it's increasingly becoming more complex for us to obtain our own permits without having our own bank. The only entity in the state of Delaware which has a bank is DelDOT. So, and they have it for the same reason we want it. Because if you want to do your projects and you have to deal with that compliance over and over and over again, then it is so much easier if you're doing this from a banking and an offset district versus having to do it on a project by project basis.
How long has DelDOT been banking?
How long? They have banked for probably 15 years, I want to
say. Okay, so it's not a new. It's new to us, not
they,
new to them.
They have to redo their banking approach under the newer stormwater regulations. But they had one under the old ones. Mm-hmm. So they, as well as us, are moving forward to establish that under the new regulations.
Okay.
Which were approved two years ago, give or take. I should remember where I served on both of these regulatory committees. So let's start with the change order number one. That was the one which we realized that we had only two options. The banking would not come through for us in time. We could either pay the fee in lieu to the state of Delaware, or we could try to establish a interim stormwater solution. We had initially proposed, and you see this in the documents described, as an alternative, which is not recognized under the stormwater regs, to take the stormwater effluent, what we call first flush, that's the one you have to meet the quality criteria, and pump it into our wastewater storage lagoon, and that's treated effluent, and then spray it on the fields. You would think that approach is acceptable on an environmental basis. But because it is not written in regulation, it would have required a secretary variance in two aspects, on the stormwater side and on the wastewater application side. In the end, we elected not to pursue a double DNRC secretary variance. And that's where sort of I feel frustrated, because these kind of decisions cannot be made at the director level. Why do they have to be made at the secretary level? But let's put that aside. So that was rejected. So we had these two options. So we tried to price out the two options. And the option we ended up pursuing was the less costly option. So we have a temporary stormwater facility which has been constructed under time and material contract, which encompassed excavation. The excavated material normally would have been trucked off-site or used in berms, but we used them to level out our major spray field on the north side. So we had a benefit. So the overall change order one was 250, give or take. It included a $70-some-thousand field leveling component, which could have been less if we just trucked it off-site or sold it off or let the contractor use the material. But it made a lot of sense for us to eliminate some of that standing water in our fields, which results in the traveling public driving by on Cannon Road looking to the west and say, why are these guys spraying on standing water? So now we have a much more level field, and it's worked out well for us in this last winter. So when you look at the total cost associated with this very complex endeavor, give or take $180,000 is spent on this facility, which if we had our bank available, could have been avoided, but it's still about 30% less than what we would have paid in the fee in lieu. Overall, 250, and the 180 certainly is much less than the fee in lieu.
Because you're washing the 70 against the 250 and coming up with the 180?
Yes, correct. So because the 70 is a benefit, we could have accomplished the whole thing for probably 190, 200, because this was valuable material we would have trucked off-site, and the contractor would have used it as a commodity. But in our case, you know, we said, okay, we want to use it, and we're paying you to spread it and level it. They had some really big land leveling equipment. You know, they were using big spreaders and big machines, so it worked out really well. It's not just your average farmer's type of equipment.
Okay.
So in the end, am I 100% happy how it unfolded? Probably not, but am I quasi-happy? Yes, because we got a direct benefit out of it, which sort of made me feel better that we're not just spending money to do a management piece, which we're not going to be using forever. So the overall number is, for change order, you see, it is, just to make sure and I put the actual letter in there, so you actually see that we requested the contractor to break that out, so we have it for the record. That's why this letter is included. Otherwise, it would not be included. It has the time and material bills, the ones we approved, plus it has that letter from Barron Construction breaking out the overall amount and the land leveling effort. So the first one would be the approval of change order number, whatever that number is, 2.
Is there a motion for change order number 2?
There's one, and because of the complexity, Mr. Vice President, we chose to break it out in 3 steps because I didn't want to just lump it all into one thing, because it needed, and it really, I felt it required your full knowledge of what you're approving and when you're approving it. So the first one, be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number 2 for contract 18-19 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility and Regional Biosolids and Septic Facilities be approved, which increases the contract amount by $258,451.63 for a new contract total of $13,926,476.16.
Is there a motion to approve that?
Move for adoption.
I'll second.
There's a motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Wilson. Any discussion on that?
That's for paying for clean water. Just get water cleaner.
That's paying for clean stormwater.
And stormwater, yeah. Stormwater ponds, that's another joke. They call them sediment ponds.
Gina, you all right with the money on this?
Yes.
I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Most change order number two carries 4-0.
Thank you. The next one is, that needs to be addressed and accepted independently. And that has to do with when the option to pump the first flush into the lagoon was rejected by the department, that being DNRC, the project came to a halt. Because, as you know from your commercial projects, unless you have conservation district approval, you can't just proceed. So we were faced with a problem. We had a DNRC construction permit. We had an initial conservation district approval, which was denied ultimately at the department level, but we had an awarded project.
Why did they deny it again?
Because the let's say, call it, innovative sounds great, right? The idea to use stormwater, mix it with treated effluent and spray it on farm fields is nowhere covered in the regs.
That's so technical.
So that
it's
is not
an, written.
It's nowhere in the written regulations.
That would just dilute the effluent, wouldn't it?
It would. Let's just say it's neither in the stormwater regulation, nor is it in the land application regulations. So, because you couldn't check a box on either side, it required you to apply for two waivers. So, regardless whether we had proceeded with the waiver route or with the route we pursued, there was a halt. There was a stop. The contractor had already implemented what we call the general conditions. That means they have to cover their overhead. That's from the bonds to the insurance to anything else you use, their rental on their field office. So it was a lot of back and forth between the contractor and us and the engineers on this particular issue. In the end, between the three parties, we reached a conclusion that this number can be supported, that is the lowest, absolute lowest number which can be supported. The number initially discussed was much, much higher. And that's why and you remember the last two memos I had before you with Inland Base, I said, hey, this is hanging out there, I'll be back. The reason it took so long, because in the end it came down to the president of the company and myself going over each one of the items I would accept as a incurred expense versus what I would not accept. And this is the number I personally support. Very rarely do we have compensatory time extensions, but that was truly justified. They could not just pack up and leave. You can't just send the team members to a different location and say, do another job for 2 months over here. It just doesn't work. Now, we had to reach a similar conclusion with the engineers. I'll touch on that at a later time. But this particular one is the best scenario for us to support a compensatory time extension. And 81 days initially was much longer, so we really whittled it down based on what I call critical path schedule. Because, you know, the initial request was for many more days, but I said, no, show me where it impacts your critical path, not just the sheer number of days. So there's a lot of compromises which went into that number. And, okay, here I stand. I recommend that we pay out $60-some thousand for 81 days lost, and it is what it is. How about that?
Or nothing.
Sounds good to me like you're paying $61,000 because of a red tape snapper.
No, we were the one who recommended award. So in the end, I cannot blame somebody else on that. But I truly believed we could have worked this out, and I was disappointed. And it's one of the emails I kept. I was hanging on my bulletin board for a while. when I was rejected in my final attempt to get this resolved at the director level. But in the end, I have to accept some responsibility for this, you know, because I felt, hey, we're proposing an innovative approach. If it all worked out, it would have been behind the scenes, Councilman, you would have never known it, and you would have never known that we pulled this off at a much lower expense. But in the end...
Sir, I hold you at fault for this. I mean, it's just that it sounds like there wasn't a box to check on the form, so therefore, you know, this is where it ends up. And I mean, I don't see where I have any choice but to support the allegation to pay this.
Can you have a motion?
I do have a motion, but I don't want to go in.
I won't belabor the point, but no. you get where I am. You're probably in the same place.
I'm in a similar place, but in the end, I have to also say the county engineer should have not recommended a award. So here we are.
Okay.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 3 for contract 18-19 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, Regional Bolasols and Septage Facilities be approved, which increases the contract amount by $61,878.66 for a new contract total of $13,988,354.82.
Is there a motion to approve that?
I'll give one.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion other than what we've had?
Is that enough?
I understand it, I don't like it, but here we are. All right. I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Change order number 3 is approved 4-0. Number 4.
Thank you, Council. That was probably one of my more difficult presentations. So that, of course, spurred us on to do some value engineering one more time. And my team and I, and that being Mr. Tenefels and I, really looked over how can we streamline some of the construction functions. And there was a fairly complex bypass pumping scheme in order to make the construction sequence flow. So we changed some of the sequencing up. We approached the president again for Merrill Baring now. And he and I discussed that, and in the end, he agreed that this can be accomplished. And we jointly approached the pump rental companies and worked out the details on the backup. And we were able to present you with a $70-some-thousand credit change order. So, and I wanted to keep these distinctly separate to see, you know, by rolling this all together, it would have looked like one convoluted issue. But here you see, we can be innovative and save money, and we can be sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot by messing up schedules. So that's why it's important to realize this is a clear, not the engineers, not the contractor, it was the county team who brought that forward and got this to the point that it was accepted by the contractor. So I think there's light and shadow. Is that a good way to look at it? So we have a pleasant motion on this one.
Maybe slightly more light, which is
good. That's please make your motion.
That's where common sense gets away.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Be removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 4 for contract 18-19 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, Regional Biosolids and Septage Facilities be approved, which decreases the contract amount by $77,000 for a new contract total of $13,911,354.82.
Is there a motion to accept that change order?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any discussion? Will you be using this going forward, this value engineering? Will this be able to apply to?
You will see us come. Yes, the answer is yes. We have, my electrical team and I are working diligently with the contractor and GHD on the South Coastal value engineering for the electrical component. And Ms. Jennings and I have been discussing sort of where we are with that, and that's a very good approach. And it really comes, You have an initial design, and we were intimately involved with the South Coastal design, many meetings over in Baltimore. So you come up with we actually had a value engineering assistance there, but that's what engineers come up with. Now that we have contractors, having two good contractors, we got their input. There was nothing initially to be found by the non-electrical piece, but on the electrical side, knowing the contractor really well, their capabilities, he made a couple of good suggestions, which we worked through our team. Some of them were not 100% initially embraced by our design engineers, believe it or not. But we now have a very good package moving forward, and hopefully by the 28th of this month, or not later than the first one in February, we'll bring a three-component piece forward on South Coastal. The value engineering on the electrical, the engineering contract for the administration and inspection, and the DP&L costs.
Great.
So sort of make it a regular piece, not just to review it before bid, but also review it after bid.
And make it part of the bid.
Make it part of the bid approach. So in our debriefing meeting, we had already identified the broad scope of these items. So the contractor wasn't surprised, and our design engineers are not surprised.
Great. I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries 4-0 on change order number 4.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Ms. Cornwell, old business.